What's going on, guys? It's me, Stephen Bagel, aka the NB Eagle, your mom's favorite podcast. With me today, we have a special guest from my very own Triple Crown League of Leagues. We have Tim Ori. Tim, how are you doing today?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
No, this is my first time.
Okay, awesome.
Popping my cherry on the NB Eagle podcast.
So, awesome. The NB Eagle.
Any other way.
The NB Eagle pops a lot of cherries. So this comes to no surprise. Okay. So Tim is a lifelong Chicago Bulls fan.
Yes,
what made you into a Bulls fan?
Well, have you ever heard of Michael Jordan?
I did.
Yes.
I have.
One Michael Jordan was the primary reason. And, sadly, if I could look into the future, I probably wouldn't have chose to be a Bulls fan, but here we are, you know, 25, 30 years later, and I still just remained loyal, unfortunately. Not that it's been fun, but, you know, growing up as a, you know, in the 90s, you kind of, at least I gravitated to the Bulls, especially growing up in Connecticut. We didn't obviously have a team, so got kind of swooped up in the hype, so just ended up liking the Bulls, and now here I am and rooting for Kobe White and Zach LaVine and them giving up 140 points a game, and you know, it's fun, but we lose a lot, so whatever.
I mean, I lived through the process, which was the losingest 3 years of any sports team ever, so
yeah.
I can definitely relate.
Yeah. It's Lillard, he got the shot off! Get open, fires away. Bang! It's over. The Bulls, Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry. James catches, puts up a three. Will go. Rebound, Bosh. Back out to Allen. His free throw. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Okay, so today we are going to be talking about our top 25 under 25. So this was actually Tim's idea to bring to the podcast. We initially talked about doing just point guards, but we decided to expand overall to just the 25 best guys in the league. So what made you specifically want to do this specific topic?
Well, I just think there's a ton of good players.
A ton of young talent.
Yes, absolutely. It was hard to come up with 25, like narrowing it down. There's a couple off my, like I left off the list that I was like, oh, I want to get them on the list so bad, but
I felt the same way.
You know, I could have made a list of 50, you know, if I really wanted to. And it's very difficult coming up with the 25. But yeah.
I know we talked about this earlier today. We both said we had no Chicago Bulls make our list.
Yeah.
I had Kobe White as one of my final cuts, but he did not make it.
I didn't even have him on one of my final cuts, to be honest.
Okay.
I had Wendell Carter, and I had Laurie on there, too. They both have a tough time staying healthy, but Kobe White is good. But he's never going to be anything more than a really good sixth man.
Yeah, when I was doing my scouting reports on him when he was at UNC, I actually compared him to Lou Williams because I thought that's what he profiled best as.
That's a perfect comp.
Was a great sixth man.
Jamal Crawford type. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so basically how we assembled this list is we did 25 guys under the age of 25. So there were guys that are exactly 25 years old, such as Karl Anthony Towns, who just didn't qualify because he was under 25. Oh, he was 25 or older.
Exactly.
So this is 25.
Yeah, same thing with Jokic, too. I think he's 25.
Mm-hmm. So this was 25 under 25 that we did. So what should we do? Should I read my 25 to 21 and then you'll read yours?
Yeah, that sounds good. And then we can debate. who should have been higher, lower, why we have our guy there.
Sounds okay. Good. I have at 25, Mikal Bridges from the, that's the Bridges on the Suns for, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people get the two confused. 20.
Yeah,
they're both good. I have two rookies on my list and they come in 23 and 24. I have LaMelo Ball at 24 and I have Tyrese Haliburton at 23.
Okay.
I have a 22, OG Anunoby, and a 21, I have Tyler Hero.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, we're similar in a couple of those. So 25th, I have Colin Sexton. I really like what he's done so far this year. Our 24 and 23 are actually the exact same. I had LaMelo at 24 and Tyrese at 23.
Okay.
22nd, I had another rookie. I went with James Wiseman.
Okay, he just missed my list.
Yeah, I really like Wiseman. I think he's going to be really good. And then 21, I had John Collins.
Okay.
So, I don't know if he made your list.
He did make my list.
Okay, so you're a lot higher on him.
Not a lot. I have him at 18. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Oh, but, cool. I mean, for a guy who's a walking 20 and 10, I know his defensive limitations, but he can stretch the floor, so that makes up for it a little bit. I just think he's more advanced in his game, given he stayed at Wake Forest longer, given he's been in the league for, what is it? This is his fourth year?
Yeah, he's a little bit older. But
so, because of his experience, I put him at 18 on this list. Because if I would rather, like I had Tyler Hero at 21, if I had to pick a team and build a team around either John Collins or Tyler Hero, I'm going to pick Tyler Hero.
Absolutely.
Because
he can shoot the three.
But Tyler,
actually, I was looking at the stats. Collins has played 160 games in his career, and he's a 37.1% three-point shooter. That's really good for someone who plays the four, especially in today's game.
Which I think is the best-case scenario for someone like Obi Toppin. I didn't have on my list. But he, as a lot of people know, he just won National Player of the Year in college basketball last year. And he wasn't – well, number one, he wasn't drafted. He was drafted eighth. He wasn't drafted higher because he was already 22 years old. But also because there was a lot of questions about his defense, the same way John Collins doesn't really play defense. But
Do you think Obi Toppin would have been drafted higher if we got a tournament and he, like, took Dayton to the Final Four?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so he was kind of a victim of that a little bit. But, yeah, I don't even think Toppin will be as good as John Collins is.
No, I don't think he will be, but I'm saying the aspect of shooting 36, 37% from three, that's probably a best-case scenario for him because he's definitely a big who could stretch the floor. Okay.
Absolutely.
So now let me give you my next five. I have a 20, Miles Turner. 19, I put Michael Porter Jr. just because of how many question marks are still around his game. I think he's extremely talented. I think he's going to average 25 and 12 in a few years, but I just don't think he's there yet. 18, as I said, I put John Collins. 17, I put D'Angelo Russell. And then 16, people probably think I'm a little too low on him. I put Zion.
Wow, that's crazy. Zion at 16. Wow, I did not see that.
If this was who I would rather build a team around, like a dynasty team with, I'm putting Zion top five.
Okay.
But just
doing this as like a real life team.
I'm doing
a fantasy basketball team.
I'm doing just this year the 25 best guys.
Okay.
My
list might be a little messed up.
And
that.
That's fine. That's
but
fine.
That's okay. Yeah. This is you know, we have our own interpretations of it.
I mean, it's 25 under 25, so I could see why you'd want to put potential on there.
You had – can you go down the past – the 20 through
– 20?
You just listened? Yeah.
20, I had Miles Turner.
Okay.
19.
He's not even on my list.
19, I had Michael Porter Jr.
Okay.
18, I had John Collins, who you already said was – you had like 21 or something.
21, yeah.
17, I had D'Angelo Russell.
He's not even on my list.
Okay, and then six.
I just think of, like, would it be fun to play with D'Angelo Russell? And I think the answer is no.
I saw his stats, and don't quote me on because I'm definitely misquoting it, But basically, it was like when Karl Anthony Towns was out with his wrist injury the last few weeks, the Timberwolves were like minus 70 something with D'Angelo Russell on the court and like zero without him. Like they were just dead even tied.
I believe that because he doesn't play any defense. He doesn't really like distribute. Like he puts up like the stats, but if you watch him play, like he doesn't have an impact like on the offensive or defensive end, you know? So, I mean.
And then.
I think he's a good fantasy basketball player, and that's kind of it.
Yeah. I definitely see the arguments against him.
I mean, if you look back at the trade that OKC made, they ripped them off. Like, they got the draft pick plus Wiggins, who's, you know, Wiggins, which we could debate that if you wanted to. I'm not sure if he's on your list. He's not on mine.
No.
But I think I would rather have Wiggins than Russell. Plus, they got the draft pick. Is it unprotected?
It's top three protected. So Minnesota, if the season ended today, is number four. So it literally would be the best case scenario, for the Golden State.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah. So I don't know. I just don't like D'Angelo Russell.
But Miles Turner, I had to put 20, or I had to put my top 25. Basically, I think he has defensive player of the year upside. He already has two games this year with eight or more blocks.
Yeah, that's insane. He was the last one. He was number 26 on my list. I had a tough time deciding between him and Colin Sexton.
Yeah,
if you want to go backwards a little bit, do you want to name off the people you had just off your list, or do you have names off the top of your head?
Sure. Yeah. No, I have it actually right in front of me. I had PJ Washington was 26.
Okay.
Jonathan Isaac was 27.
Yeah, he was my 27th too. Oh God, I wish he would stay healthy.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't keep him on.
I have him on our Triple Crown, our Triple Crown League, and he's just sitting there in the IR, and he will be for the next year or so, and it's devastating.
Yeah, now they have Markelle Fultz also out as well. The Magic.
He's also on my best of the rest.
I had Lou Dort 28.
Okay.
I had Colin Sexton 29, and I had DeAndre Ayton and DeJounte Murray tied at 30.
Okay. I had a couple of those guys on there, too. I had, at 26, I had Miles Turner. 27, I had Jonathan Isaac. 28, I had Wendell Carter Jr. I love him, but I don't know if he'll ever be Al Horford as the people thought he would be. 29, I had Markelle Fultz. I don't know. With the injury now, obviously, he's not going to play at all this year. So he was looking really good, too.
He did.
It's a shame he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then I had Lonzo Ball.
See, my thing, I had Lonzo Ball just missing as well. He was in my next five guys out. But Markelle Fultz, I couldn't even really consider him just because of how much I can't stand that motherfucker from everything that happened with the Sixers, from him forgetting how to shoot and just... I really thought, like, when the day Colangelo traded for that first pick, you could ask Alexa this, I was hysterical. I was over the moon. Oh my God, like, we haven't beaten Simmons, now we're getting Fultz. Like, Fultz is the next Dwayne Wade. Like, he's that good. Can miss, surefire, guaranteed, 15-time All-Star. Like, cannot miss prospects.
He would have fit in perfectly.
And he would have fit in absolutely perfectly. I can't remember, Tom. That, the day we traded for the first pick to draft Fultz and the day I got into law school, or the 2 days I actually cried of happiness. And just, I cannot forgive Markelle Fultz. Now, we ended up trading him for the 21st pick, which turned into Tyrese Maxey. And Tyrese Maxey looks absolutely awesome, especially for the 21st pick.
Yeah, he had the game a couple days ago where
he dropped 39 points.
Yeah, 39 points. Was that the most for a rookie in his first game starting or something?
It was something like that. They showed a list the other day on the Sixers broadcast. He was the first rookie to have 39, 7, and 6 in a game. It was like eight people, and it was like Michael Jordan, Blake Griffin was on the list. I'm blanking on who else was on it, but bottom line, it was like seven Hall of Famers, then Maxey.
Yeah. So maybe he's he's the one.
So know? Maybe I'll forgive Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
But
we'll just have to wait 15 years and see how it ends up with Maxi.
Yeah, but I hate Markelle Fultz because of...
The problem with Fultz was, like, he seems like such a good guy, too.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know how it was for you, but I was like, it's got to be so hard to, like, hate him. I mean, it doesn't sound like you were able to...
I mean, I don't hate him as a person, but, like...
No, yeah. And it seems like it just got into his head, you know? And
yeah.
You know, that happens.
But... I would wonder where he would be on this list right now if he turned into what he was supposed to be. He'd probably be top 5, top 6.
I would say so, yeah.
So
probably within that range.
Okay, so who...
Oh, yeah, okay, let's move forward. Who, where are we at?
You can go from 20 up to 16.
20 to 16, okay. 20, I had Tyler Hero.
Okay, I had him 21.
He almost won the game for them the other night against Philly.
Yeah, that was phenomenal watching that game.
I had the Heat money line, and I was like, oh, shit, they're going to do it. And then he had that bad turnover, which was that was tough. But he almost single-handedly won in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So 19, I had De'Aaron Fox.
Okay.
He's played pretty well so far this year. He's so fast.
Yeah, he's probably the fastest player in the league.
Him and Haliburton, like, if those guys both reach their potential, that could be – an insane backcourt.
Yeah, Buddy Hield's a goner.
Yeah, most likely. And then at 18, I had OG Anunoby.
Okay.
He doesn't necessarily put up, like, the stats, but...
A player like that doesn't have to, yeah.
Versatile. Exactly. He's, like, he can guard 1-4, sometimes 5.
And he could cover the LeBrons and the KDs and the Kawhis and even the Giannises, despite how powerful Giannis is. There's...
Exactly.
That's a very difficult task for a guy to be asked to cover all those kind of guys every single night, and he's able to do this.
Yeah. And 17, I had Michael Porter Jr.
Okay.
You know, he could, if he stays healthy, so really, just really pretty good. Kind of reminds me a little bit of KD without the length, in terms of his the way he shoots,
mm-hmm.
and he can get to his spots. It's hard to defend a shot. 16, I had Jaren Jackson Jr.
Okay.
Another guy who's had a tough time staying healthy a little bit, but I love the potential there.
Jaren Jackson Jr. actually is, I'm the biggest fan of him. As you know, and as most of the listeners know, I'm huge on trading cards. I'm always buying, selling, collecting, doing everything. I have so many Jaren Jackson Jr. rookie cards because I think this dude is going to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
Going into that draft, I wasn't big on DeAndre Ayton. I wasn't big on Marvin Bagley. I had Luka 1 in that draft, and I had Jaren Jackson Jr. number 2. And that's looking – I don't know where you want to put Trae Young between both of them, but I think that's a pretty accurate big board even today. I know Jaren Jackson can't stay healthy, but that dude is good. He's the best shooting big man in the league, aside from Karl Anthony Towns. And he's just that rare 3-and-D big that you don't see too often in the NBA.
You know what's really weird, though? He doesn't get rebounds that much.
He doesn't because... I don't know.
I don't know if he's like more of a team defender where he's just boxing out his guy, kind of. I don't know, you know? Like, it's very weird how his rebounding like numbers are...
No, yeah. Mediocre. No, I don't disagree.
I'm sure he'll get better. He's only 21.
Yeah.
You know, players aren't at this age aren't fully developed yet.
So I had Jaren Jackson Jr. as much as I love him, I had him 15. A lot of that had to do with injury concerns because we haven't seen him as much as we've seen some of these other guys. I had him 15. I had De'Aaron Fox 14. I had Jaylen Brown 13. And Jaylen Brown's been absolutely awesome to start the year this year. Him and Jason Tatum. I hate the fact that the Sixers have to go against both of them every year for the top of the East. That's a great young duo.
Probably will have to for the next 10 years.
Yeah, right. 12, I had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And 11, I had Ja Morant.
Okay. So I think we're going to start differing quite a bit here. Just because you listed off some guys that
I have in my top 6.
Okay.
So it's going to get pretty wild, I guess.
Okay.
So strap in, people. All right, so 15, I got DeAndre Ayton.
Okay.
He's been pretty good this year.
DeAndre Ayton, I ultimately didn't put him on my list because of his defensive issue still. But I will say this, he did improve rapidly as a defender ever since he got drafted.
He looked like he wouldn't be able to stop you or I.
Yeah. Now,
and he got really better. And I think Chris Paul being there, just he's going to tell him, you know, where to be in certain spots. It's not only going to help him on the offensive end, but I think he's going to do like Chris Paul is basically a coach on the court, you know?
He is, yeah.
So I think just being around him is going to be huge for your Ayton. 14, I had Jamal Murray. 13, I had Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
12, I had Domantas Sabonis. And 11, I had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Okay.
Who you've been trying to get for me for a while in their Triple Crown. But
yeah,
I haven't taken the bait.
I'm still debating if I want to offer call Anthony Towns for him. But big men are just so much more valuable in fantasy because their potential for all the extra rebounds and I don't know. So, yeah, the blocks. Yeah. And so, I don't know. But, you had a lot of guys that I have in my top 10.
Right. Right. And you had,
Do you say Jaylen Brown?
I had Jaylen Brown 13.
Okay. Because I have him. Do you want me to tell you where
yeah,
I am?
Yeah, go
now,
ahead.
Or?
You can tell.
Okay. I have him at six.
Okay.
He's gotten so good. Like, he's gotten so much better every year.
Yeah, he has.
He's kind of on a similar path as Paul George, which I know everyone makes the joke that, like, you know, pandemic P and all that stuff. But Paul George is really good still.
Yeah, Paul George is probably a top 12 player in the league.
And Jaylen Brown, you know, he's been around for a while, but he just consistently gets better. And he adds a little bit more every year to his game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you, as a Sixers fan, know that more than anyone.
Yeah.
So, and I think you've had someone else that – oh, did you say John Morant you had?
I had John Morant at 11.
Okay. I have him at 5.
Okay. So I'm interested to see where you have some of these guys that I have ranked like 6, 7, 8.
Right.
Will you have them?
I hope I'm not forgetting anyone.
Also,
I'm worried that there's like someone I just didn't remember was like a stud.
Okay, now I think we'll just go back and forth. I'll give my 10, you give your 10, then I give my 9, you give your 9, etc.
Okay, that'll be easier to remember.
So you said Donovan Mitchell already, correct?
Yeah, I have him at 13.
Okay, I have him at number 10. Think him and John Moran, John Moran at 11, I think they could go either way. I just think Donovan Mitchell's a little bit further in his development of his offensive game, and he's a significantly better shooter than John Moran. So I gave him the nod over him. But I'm not going to fight anyone who had it vice versa.
Yeah, the only thing is, I think that Mitchell's obviously a couple years older. I think the ceiling for Morant is higher than the ceiling is for Mitchell. I don't know why. It just seems like athletically, Morant could do more than Mitchell. Obviously, if he stays healthy.
I mean, Morant's one of the most athletic dudes in the NBA, I would probably say.
Yeah, so I kind of made my list, like, not who I would take, like, if I was building a team, but I was looking kind of, like, a little bit into the future as well as what they've already produced.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, so number 10, I have Brandon Ingram. He's another guy who's gotten better.
He's really good.
I think him leaving the Lakers was the best thing that happened for him.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram went from a guy who basically, he reminded me of DeMar DeRozan in the aspect of he just lived in the mid-range. He wasn't really able to get to the basket, and he wasn't a knockdown elite three-point shooter. So he was just kind of that middle ground that DeMar DeRozan has still been in for years.
He was in no man's land, really.
Yeah.
He didn't have the range to shoot from three, and he didn't have the strength. I mean, he's still a really scrawny guy, but now it just seems like he's just developed into the player that people
thought he's become a very good defender. Sneakily.
I mean, He's what? He's 6'11"? Is he almost 7?
Yeah. He's about the same archetype as Kevin Durant. So.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so you said you have Ingram 10?
I have Ingram 10.
Okay, I put Ingram at number 8. Okay. So I wasn't too far off. Number 9, I had somebody you already said. I had Jamal Murray. Oh,
okay.
But yes. Jamal Murray. This might be some bias given to how well he's played in the bubble or how well he did play in the bubble.
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
I just see a guy.
Him and the battles between him and Mitchell were insane.
Yeah, I just.
It's like what we all needed for 2020.
I just see. And we got 7 games of it. Luckily.
Oh, yeah.
I think Jamal Murray's a winner. I think he was down 3-1 to Utah, came back, won the series. He was down 3-1 to the Clippers, came back, won the series. And obviously we know how the Lakers series went. But that's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So
if you were going to build a team, you would take Murray over Mitchell?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think, well, what are their age? Murray's about 22, Mitchell's about 21.
Mitchell's 24, Murray's 23.
Mitchell's 24, is he really? Dang. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess he did the extra year of Louisville.
The extra year, yeah. So he came out at an older age, which, you know, it's crazy to think that, oh, he's old when he's coming out at 22 or whatever. It's like, okay, I'm 31 and I feel like my back hurts every day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good. It's almost a toss up for me. If I was building a team around them, I would take John Moran and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander over both of them, over Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray. But if I had to pick between the two, I'd probably go Donovan Mitchell just because he's a little bit more athletic and a little more spry, so he could do a little bit more for you on the ball. Jamal Murray was, when he entered the league, was supposed to be like the next great combo guard, but the Nuggets have turned him into a point guard to the point where he doesn't really play without. I don't want to say that he doesn't play off the ball that much because Jokic basically is the de facto point guard there. Mm-hmm. But Jamal Murray, he has a pretty high usage rate, and I don't know. He needs a ball. I know Jokic basically plays point guard for them in that offense, but Jamal Murray has the ball in his hands a lot. Mitchell, I feel like, could play next to another
it's like
point.
Like 1A and 1B as the primary ball handler. Like if you were watching a Nuggets game and for some reason, like Murray and Jokic weren't on the court, like who's their point guard? Yeah. Like it's those two guys, you know.
I mean, they do have Monte Morris, who is one of the better backup point guards in the league, but
yeah. It's tough. I mean, like, that's why when I originally pitched the idea, I was like, we could just do the best 25 point guards or ball handlers or whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's so many guys who are, you know, point guard or shooting guards, like Murray or Mitchell, you know. But, okay, so where are we at now?
You're number 9.
Number 9. I went with Zion. I mean, we all know how talented he is. It's just a matter of health. And, staying in shape, really, because that dude could, like, get
Zion. Kind of I was watching the Pelicans game the other day, and, like, this dude was this crazy athlete, crazy dunks. Like, that's what he became known for before he became Zion, the number one pick out of Duke. He was just a dunker on YouTube and Instagram, and that's what people knew him as, just of how athletic and crazy his dunks were. I was watching the other day. This dude is not athletic anymore. I'm not saying he's not athletic, but like he's lost a step. You could tell that.
Yeah, what,
this dude.
Why do you think that is? Is it the speed of the NBA or like is it psychological? Like, I mean, there's no way to tell. We're not Zion Williamson. But I've been hearing that, you know, it seems like he doesn't have the athletic peak that everyone thought he would.
No, he has the power down. He reminds me of Moses Malone. And obviously, okay. I wasn't around to see Moses Malone, but just like the power that he plays with, he's so much stronger than everybody else that he's just able to dominate the offensive glass and attack that way. And when he's going at you with a full head of steam going at the basket, you can't stop him because he's too powerful and too big. But he doesn't have that athleticism that he had when he was at Duke. Like at Duke, he set the vertical record for highest vertical until Cassius Stanley beat that a year later. But I mean, this dude was supposed to be just a crazy athlete, and just like, I don't know if it's because of his weight and because of all the weight he's putting on his knees, or but he's just not. And that's why I put him so low on this list, because he's just not what we expected him to be. And I could be wrong. He could be phenomenal. I'm not saying he's not going to be great. I think ceiling-wise, he's probably top 3 or 4 on this list. But until I see it, I couldn't put him over a lot of these guys.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I forget where it was, but I heard that someone said he kind of looks like Zach Randolph, but with a bigger, like, vertical
leap. I see that.
And now I can't really get that out of my head, especially because they're both left-handed. And obviously Zion has, like, a lot more potential than Randolph ever did. But if he doesn't, like, you know, pick up any of the agility or speed that everyone thought he had, like, that could be a similar career trajectory. Which, I guess, if you told anyone that, like, last year or the year before, they'd be incredibly disappointed. So I guess it's kind of wait and see with Zion. And how do you feel about his fit with Brandon Ingram?
I think Zion's best role in the NBA is going to be playing the small ball 5. And right now they just signed Steven Adams to a 2-year extension, so he's going to be playing with Steven Adams for 3 years. I don't like that fit. I think there's a scenario where they could play Zion at the 5 and Ingram at the 4, and actually that offense could thrive.
Yes. I don't know why they signed Steven Adams.
I don't know, because,
like, I guess just to get rebounds.
David Griffin is a phenomenal GM, so I don't want to question his ability, because he usually almost always makes the right move. But I don't know if they just wanted to have, like, a brick wall of Steven Adams and Zion, have the two strongest guys in the league, and no one's going to be able to out-rebound you.
Twin Towers type thing. Yeah. What's their record this year, anyways?
They have a losing record. I think they're 4-6, I want to say.
There's so many teams that are, like, 500. There's, like, 6-5.
Let me see.
They got all the delayed games.
They're 4-6, just like I said. So
4-6, okay. Because, I mean, a lot of people had them competing for one of the either the 7th or 10th
seed. See, so I don't think it's a thing. I don't think it's an issue with talent with the Pelicans, but it's just such a clunky fit with Steven Adams and Zion and Eric Bledsoe.
It's a team that was made to play in the 90s,
yeah,
to be honest.
I could get behind that. Like,
so.
Okay, well, okay. My number 8, I already said, is Brandon Ingram.
Okay, and I have Trae Young at 8.
Okay, I'm assuming that's because of the defensive limitations.
Absolutely. Like, and I don't know if he necessarily makes his teammates better. Obviously, you saw the thing with John Collins kind of calling him out. I don't think that's a great look for either of them, really, but Trae Young especially. I don't know. I think he's, like, an incredible talent, but I just don't know if he can ever reach the heights of, like, the best player on a championship team, especially defensively. Like, he's an absolute liar.
I mean, he's probably
he makes up for it on the other end, but
yeah, still, like, he definitely makes up for it on the other end, which is why I put him so high. He's probably, though, the single-handedly worst defender in the NBA.
I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who's worse. Trying to go through. Jokic is bad, but he's big, so, like,
Jokic's okay sometimes. Jokic learned how to use his body to his advantage.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Towns is kind of not great, but I don't know
about my thing is...
And he's...
My thing with Trae Young is, yes, Karl Anthony Towns is a terrible defender, but Karl Anthony Towns needs to be a good defender because he's supposed to be a rim protector. That's why I was so down on DeAndre Ayton when in his draft, because I was like, I don't know if he's ever going to be able to protect the rim, and he's a big man, and the one position where you need a defender is a center. So that's why I gave Trae Young the benefit of the doubt. I say, okay, he's a point guard. You could put him on. You could hide him. That's exactly what I was trying to say.
You could hide him on Ben Simmons.
And he's fast enough to keep up with the Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons might get to the might get in the lane a few times, but if Trae Young could foul him before he could get there, then you're going to get Ben Simmons making one or two free throws.
Right. So it's a worthwhile trade-off.
Okay.
I mean, it's just so – it's so weird what's going on in Atlanta. Like, they signed all those guys, and I think they're 4-4 or something like that. But
well, it's funny. They signed all those guys, and all those guys are hurt. They signed Gallinari, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Rondo, and Chris Dunn, and all four of them are out for an extended period of time. So it's like
– Gallinari getting hurt was the least surprising thing, though.
Yeah, and they ended up signing him. The $60 million they signed him to – was the most for a guy over 30 to never make an all-star team. So
he never made an all-star.
Nope.
I guess not. He's always,
in the West, so it's different aside from when he was on the Knicks in
years. Right. I'm kind of surprised by that. I thought maybe one time he would have snuck in as a replacement or something.
Okay. My number 7, I have Domantas Sabonis. This might be a little biased just because of right now, he might be top 5 in MVP voting if the season ended today. Like, he's been that good.
He's been insane so, this year.
Not only has he been good, but he's learned how to pass out at double teams. He's averaging, I think, 5 or 6 assists a game for a big man. And they taught him how to shoot threes. So he's stretching the floor as well. So having a big man who could score in the post and rebound and shoot threes and pass is just such a valuable thing.
He can do it all, you know. He doesn't have any particular weakness, which is, you know, obviously as a big man, if you have a lot, if you're a defensive liability, as you said, as a big man, like, that's huge. And he's not necessarily fast or anything, but he just gets the right spots. Mm-hmm. And
he's a very smart player.
Probably should have had him. Very smart. And I don't know if having, you know, a father who's in the NBA, that probably wouldn't hurt.
No, it definitely doesn't hurt. Look at a lot of guys have dads in the NBA that are coming up. Jaren Jackson had a dad in the NBA. Obviously guys like Kobe Bryant had a dude in the NBA, had a dad in the NBA. Steph Curry, you see a lot of times, both Curry brothers actually. So
I agree. Yeah. The Ball brothers should have had a father in the NBA.
They had a father in the NFL practice squad for the Carolina Panthers and Jets.
Yeah.
But, okay, so did you give your number 7?
So, 7, I said Ben Simmons.
Okay. Ben Simmons, I had
it
6.
We know okay, we're pretty close. He's great defensively. He could facilitate an offense very well, especially in the half court. The only thing is he doesn't shoot.
It's not just that he doesn't shoot. I mean, this dude, I have Ben Simmons a 6, so clearly I think highly of him. But as a Sixers fan, people probably say, oh, yeah, well, you're biased towards him. If anything, I think that makes me harder on him because as a Sixers fan, like, I could point out all his flaws. I watch him every single game. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm there in person watching him. Last game against Miami, they had – it was a 53-minute game because it went in overtime. He took 3 shots. So it's not even that he won't shoot from 3. This dude just doesn't do anything on offense.
Yeah.
So, and
he had more turnovers. I think I tweeted you.
He had more fouls than points and more turnovers than points.
More turnovers than points, yeah.
So
it was crazy.
But Ben Simmons, he's –
Do you think he thought they were
going to
trade him?
I read that yesterday they sat him down and they told him you were going to Houston in a trade because they thought the Harden trade was done. And then Houston wanted Tyrese Maxey in addition to everything else we were giving. And then Sixers said, nope, go with the Nets offer. That's what I read. So,
because, I mean, if he thinks he's getting traded, he's probably like, screw it, if I'm getting traded. I don't know if he knew that night. But if someone tipped him off, he could have been like, why am I going to, you know,
but
bust my ass for a team that I'm not going to be.
My thing is, I think Ben Simmons is also only taking 3 shots a night because he's afraid to go to the basket and get fouled and go to the free throw line because you know he's only going to make 1 or 2. But yeah. Ben Simmons, I understand those limitations, but he does every other thing so well. The other thing I don't like about him is that he hasn't gotten better since his rookie year. He's came in and been the same exact player, and I don't think he's progressed at all. He's progressed on the defensive end because at LSU, no one anticipated him becoming the defender that he is, and he might be the single most impactful defender in the NBA. He was my pick to win Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Him or Giannis?
Probably. Yeah, or Anthony Davis or Gobert or one of them. One of the usual mainstays. But Ben Simmons was all-defensive team last year, all-defensive first team. He doesn't shoot threes, but he leads the league, I think, 3 straight years in assist off three-pointers. So he creates for others because of his ability to drive in the lane and kick it out. And that...
That's kind of surprising.
Given that there's no spacing around him, that's very surprising.
Right.
So now that you have Seth Curry and Danny Green had 9 threes last game on Tuesday. So now that you...
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey, Shake Milton, now that you have some shooters around him, I think he's...
Probably get more.
So...
Yeah. And Tobias Harris is... decent at three.
So Ben Simmons does a lot of things that are frustrating, but he does a lot of things really well, and that's why I ended up keeping him at number 6.
Yeah, I mean, I have him at 7, so we're pretty close there. Like you said, he hasn't
really added anything and has stayed the same player. If he could add even like a respectable, if he could shoot 30% from three,
just add the element in, like, oh god, he'd be unstoppable. He's so big and fast, so it's just
he's
and I'm not even a 6 foot
he's
fan.
Court to like coast to coast, probably the I'd say third fastest player in the NBA behind De'Aaron Fox and Kyrie Lewis Jr. So I don't know. He's just when he has a full head of steam, that dude goes. He's fast. But okay.
Especially because he takes the rebound
and goes.
Yeah. Take it coast to coast. Yeah. As long as he's not worried about getting fouled.
Okay, so who did you have? You had Simmons at number 7, correct? Okay, yeah. I had Simmons at number 6, so who'd you have at number 6?
I had Jaylen Brown at
number 6. Okay, you said that.
I think he started off his career kind of like, I don't know, maybe he'll be a good defensive guy, but he won't shoot threes that well. And as I said before, like he's just added something every single year. And defensively, really, really good. He's not as good as Simmons, just because he can't play against the bigger guys, but he's still a hell of a perimeter defender. And I think he adds quite a bit to Boston. And I'm pretty happy they didn't trade him for Harden. I thought that would have been a disaster.
I mean, they didn't want to trade him for Kawhi when they could have. So and that was years ago.
Yeah.
And he's gotten so much better since then.
Yeah. I had Jaylen at 6, and I'm pretty comfortable with him there.
Okay. Then at number 5, I had Devin Booker.
Devin Booker. Okay. I have Booker a little bit higher.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you where I have him, or should I tell you who I have?
Tell me who you had at 5.
Okay. I had Ja Morant.
Okay.
At 5. He's coming back.
I read that he's questionable for tomorrow night's game.
That is good because he is so fun to watch. He might be my favorite player.
Yeah, he's awesome.
The way he's so, but he'll dunk it, and you're like, please don't like land on your leg again, like that. It's just please stay healthy, you know. he's so fun to watch, and the future is so bright for them, like him and Jaren Jackson Jr. If they could both stay healthy, like a.
And it shows what the new lottery reform is doing because the Grizzlies honestly didn't even tank that hard. They just got really lucky, and so did the Pelicans when they got Zion because they were both like 7th and 8th worst records in the league, and they came 1 and 2 in the lottery. So
yeah, and that's exactly what the league wants too because the league does not
so,
take it. And then the flattening odds is like a real big thing for making sure that
there's not teams purposefully tanking. Because this year, there's, like, not many teams that are going to tank, especially with the I guess the only team that would tank would be the Thunder.
The Thunder, but the Pistons. The Knicks are going to be bad again, even though they're not trying to be. The Cavs.
Because the Wolves aren't going to tank because they won't get their pick. Oh, they won't get their pick.
They're all in with D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns. They're trying to win. They're just not good.
Yeah. They just can't win because they have D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, but Devin Booker had a number five, but he's interesting because he hasn't been that good this year. So I don't know if it's because he's adjusting to playing next to Chris Paul and he's not having the ball in his hands as much. But I thought a team with DeAndre Ayton, who's improved vastly as a defender, and then Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges are both great defenders, and then Devin Booker, and then whoever you have as the fifth guy on the court, whether it's Jay Crowder or Cam Johnson or Dario Saric, I thought that team was going to be awesome this year. And not that they're saying they're bad. I still think they're like, what are they, like 6-3 or something like that? But
I think they're like
they're 7-4. They're 7-4.
They're really well this year.
They've been doing that without Devin Booker even playing that well. So I don't know if he just is a guy who needs a ball in his hands, but I would think he should be fine playing off the ball because he's like Klay Thompson, the aspect of he's awesome, always moving, always consistently trying to find his spots, moving without the ball in his hands. And those guys are impossible to cover. On defense.
I mean, the Suns were completely built around Booker the past, what, three or four years? So Chris Paul coming in kind of makes sense how he would take a while to adjust. I'm sure, you know, by game 45 or something, I would imagine that Booker will probably look a lot more like Booker, how he, like, the past couple of years, you know? But bringing in Chris Paul for that team was huge. But maybe Booker will take a step back this year. Remains to be seen. It is interesting though how like you can get better as a team, but individual players can progress. I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
Okay, so do we do your number five?
Five for me with Durant. So, and you had Booker.
Okay, then my number four, I had Trae Young. Just because how good he is offensively. Not only is he a great shooter, he's great at every aspect of offense. He's such a good and creative passer. He reminds me of a young Steph Curry, except Steph Curry wasn't averaging 28 points a game his sophomore year. And he wasn't 19 years old during it. Steph Curry graduated from Davidson at 22 years old. So the fact that Trae Young is doing what he's doing, that's why I put him so high. I understand the defensive limitations. I wouldn't argue having him lower because of that. But I had Ben Simmons ranked 6 because of defense. I had to put Trae Young higher because of offense.
Yeah, at this point, you're kind of always going to look at, like, when you're in the top 10, you're going to pick Nick no matter what. So there's going to be flaws in, or you're going to look for the flaws in every person's game. I had Trae Young at 8 just because, like I said, I don't know if he's, like, a winner, which is kind of dumb, but I just don't know if he's going to, like, be able to lift his teammates up as a leader. We'll see. I mean, he's only 22, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, who'd you have at number 4?
I had Bam Adebayo at 4. I almost went higher. I almost put him at 3, but I put him at 4. He looked insane in the bubble. Basically, I think he's like a better version of Sabonis. A little bit better defensively.
He's a lot bit better defensively.
A lot better defensively. He was all defensive team last year. And just a better creator, I guess. Maybe not a better creator, but he finds the open guy.
He's really good at passing out of double teams.
He cleans up the boards pretty nicely. He could just do everything.
He's a very switchable defender, which most big men are not. Big men usually have to be the focal point of the defense, but there's not many big men that could switch onto a point guard and cover them adequately, and Bam Adebayo can do that.
Yeah, I mean, the postseason when the Warriors would play the Jazz, Gobert would get switched on to Curry, and it would be an absolute disaster for Gobert. So, I mean, if that happens to Bam, obviously no one can really, like, hang on Curry that strongly, but, like, he could do a good job of at least changing his shot. So, yeah, I had Bam at 4, and I was tempted to go higher, but I think he's...
Okay, I put Bam at 3, so...
So who
do
you got?
4, I had Trae Young.
Okay, that's
so right. I had Bam at 3. Who did you have at 3?
I had Booker at 3. So you had him a little bit lower, and I have him higher. I think, I don't know, like, I think that Booker has MVP potential. Obviously not this year with, I think Chris Paul's going to take away some shots and a little bit of shine. But I think Booker's gonna break out again. Like, he's gonna take another extra leap and take his game to the next level. Maybe Chris Paul will help that, especially like around the locker room. But I wouldn't be surprised if Booker is an MVP in the next
two. And I wouldn't be surprised if he won a scoring title or two either. So
yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming we have the same top two. I'm assuming you had Jason Tatum at 2 and Luka Doncic at 1. Okay.
That is correct.
So,
yeah. I don't think there's much debate with Luka.
Luka is, he's good.
Yeah. He's
I mean,
he kind of started this year a little bit.
He started slow, but Kristaps wasn't playing, so he was getting double teamed consistently. I mean, who's the second best guy on that team outside of Kristaps? Josh Richardson, maybe? Hardaway Jr. is probably the best, second best offensive guy, and then Richardson's the best defensive guy. But, like, they don't have anybody outside of Kristaps and Luka, really. So, the fact that Kristaps was out, I'm not surprised he got off to a slow start because he's getting double, triple teamed every play.
Yeah. And he's only 21.
But, yeah, he's good. And Jason Tatum is really good, too.
Yeah. Jeez. Imagine if the Sixers took Tatum instead of...
I mean...
And they had...
I hated Colangelo. He was the worst GM, and obviously everything with Bernergate that went down, obviously it went down in flames. But at the time, I think it was a great trade. If Markel Fultz was supposed to be what he was a generational, you know, Dwayne Wade, James Harden comparison type guy. Jason Tatum, you didn't know he was going to be this good.
Yeah, people thought he was going to be, like, basically a good offensive player, but kind of a...
And he's a great defensive player.
Yeah, very, very good. Do you think he'll be an all-defensive team this year? Or
in his career, definitely. I don't know about this. There's just so many good defenders this year. Let me – actually, I have in front of me my predictions for the defensive teams from my past podcast. I had the forwards being Ben Simmons and Mikal Bridges and then Robert Covington and Josh Richardson. And then that doesn't include – Giannis, AD, or Kawhi, and OG Anunoby, actually. So
who votes on the awards?
It's the media.
Is it the media? Okay. Because I'm wondering if the Celtics are like a 1 or 2 seed and they're led by Tatum. I wonder if he'll have any like a narrative of like defensive player or not a defensive player of the year, but being an all defensive team. Just because he's more in the limelight. I don't know, but he's gotten better every year.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Do you think the Celtics have the best 1-2 in the East?
The Celtics have the best one. I mean, Kevin Durant and James Harden, are we including?
Oh.
I mean, outside of the Nets... They might.
I forgot that James Harden.
I mean, I don't know because you have. I'm not going to give it to Giannis and Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton because I think all those guys are better than the Bucks' second best guy. The Nets, obviously. Sixers and Celtics, I would say, is pretty much a wash. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to say I'd rather have the Celtics 2 than the Sixers 2. But the Sixers, too, were so good defensively. Not saying the Celtics aren't. But the Celtics are just so much more – wings are so much more valuable in today's NBA.
I think offensively, you'd rather have the Celtics. And
positionally, I'd rather have the Celtics because wings are so hard to come by in the NBA. You see, every year now, bigs are starting not get drafted as often, and wings are what everyone covets. So it's like when they have two great young wings, it's like
– I think that's why the Wolves took Edwards over Wiseman.
Well, I mean, they didn't want Wiseman to call anything Towns. I think that's what it came down to too.
Yeah, but I think they could have worked together. I don't know. The East is kind of
Good this year. 1-7 between the Bucks, Nets, Sixers, Celtics, Heat, Raptors, and Pacers. All seven of those teams are good. I know the Raptors are 2-8 right now because they're living in a hotel in Tampa Bay, but.
And they've lost a lot of late games.
They've blown, I think. They lost 8 games. I think 5 of them they had a double-digit lead in and blew the game. So.
Yeah. The Tampa Raptors.
And then you have the Atlanta Hawks as probably the 8 seed there, which once they're healthy, that's a pretty good team. There's a lot of defensive question marks on that team. But, yeah, I think the East is really starting to build back. And now, if there's an expansion, which it looks like is going to happen in the next few years, it's going to be interesting to see which team moves to the East.
Yeah, I was hearing probably either Memphis
or the Pelicans. I was hearing possibly Minnesota just because they're together with like that Chicago type area.
Where are they going to expand to? They're probably going to. I would imagine. I know we're not in our list anymore, but that's okay.
It's definitely going to be Seattle. And then the second team, I would imagine, shot from the dark, either Vegas or Mexico City.
Mexico City.
They had a lot of preseason games there. The NBA does a lot of work in Mexico City. I just think it's an outside shot.
Yeah. Isn't it the biggest city in North America?
I have no idea.
Like the most popular. I think it's the most populous city in North America. Like more than New York City, too.
I just don't know where else they put a team. I was hearing maybe Louisville or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as like a dark horse. Louisville. I don't think they're ever going to go back to Vancouver. I don't know if Canada can support another team.
Okay, let me see.
They would love their hockey.
They played 2 regular season games last year in Mexico City before the pandemic.
Was that a game?
The Mavs, Pistons, Suns, and Spurs. Those 2 teams.
Okay, I remember the Spurs game.
And I know they do a lot of like the charity work in Mexico City. So that's why, they threw OKC a bone after Hurricane Katrina when they housed the Pelicans and gave them a team. I think they would do a similar thing with Mexico City saying, okay, we do all this like charity work for you guys, everything. You guys, we hosted a few games though. Like, we think we could establish a team there.
Franchise here, yeah. Huh. That's interesting. How do expansion teams get their?
I got into the NBA, and as everyone knows, I'm big on the front office and the salary cap and all that. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to be an NBA GM one day. That's why I went to law school. So I started getting into the NBA the year the Bobcats formed. So I got super into that draft. What they do is every NBA team can protect 8 guys. I don't know if that's going to expand now that rosters have expanded with 2-way guys. But it used to be every team could protect 8 guys. And then the expansion team could pick whatever, like 12 guys from the unprotected guys. And you can't take more than 1 from 1 team. So I'm assuming under this situation, if there were 2 teams, you could take a team could lose up to two guys because each team could take one and then everybody else is safe.
All right, so top eight. So you're scraping the bottom of the
Yeah, but like there's some really deep teams that like you have to make a tough decision on cutting, like
Seven, three, you have
a first round pick from 2 years ago. Do you want to hang on to him who has potential or a guy who you know is going to contribute this year? So it's like you got to decide. And like, there's the contracts aspects of it. Like, okay, like, do the Sixers protect Tobias Harris or are they okay if the expansion team takes him off their hands? I doubt the expansion team will take them, but. So, I mean, there's a lot that plays into it. So, I'd be very interested. I actually want to do a podcast of doing a mock expansion. Like, a mock expansion draft.
And I'm assuming the expansion teams, they get the first pick, like, in the, like, the first rookie draft.
The Bobcats got fourth. Oh, no, The Bobcats got fourth and then traded up to seconds by taking on a bad contract. Like, the NBA just said, okay, you guys are going to be designated a fourth, and then we'll have the lottery for 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, etc. So I don't know if you just slot them in somewhere. I'm assuming since the draft lottery now changed where only the top three picks are affected, then it goes in order after that. They will give the expansion teams number 4 and 5. Yeah. And then everybody else goes 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or so on. So that's how I'm assuming they would do it. But
yeah, I mean, all of this is still speculation.
Yeah, I don't want any listener to say, "Oh, this is how they're doing it," because the NBA Eagle says so. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, the NBA Eagle says so, so it's the way it should be.
Yeah, I think I could do a much better job than Adam Silver. So,
damn, that's a bold take.
I don't know. I don't think they should be playing right now. They just postponed the 8th game of the season. Like, I don't think they should be playing. There's five teams that have at least seven guys out. Like, I don't think this season should be going on right now.
They probably should pause at least for a week or so, just so people can get back on the right schedules and stuff. And you could. They could push the postseason back.
They don't want to push the they don't want to push the postseason back because they're trying to start next season by October, like it normally is. So, but like,
I just don't know. Like, I like how the season started in like late December. Like, I don't know. Like, it just seems like it would. It seems like the right time. No one's really paying attention to the NBA until like Christmas. Because people are watching football. Like, I watch basketball all the time, but the mainstream people, like, they don't even realize basketball's on until until Christmas Day, you know? But I don't know.
Okay.
Adam Silver.
Any thoughts on?
But the NBA Eagle is really, that's who should be the commissioner. I support that.
Irvin Santana, if you're listening to this, pitcher for, I think he's on the Kansas City Royals now. He's like 39 years old. Two-time All-Star pitcher, threw a no-hitter, Irvin Santana, followed me on Twitter yesterday. I never tweeted anything about him, so I'm assuming he's a listener. So, Irvin Santana, if you're listening, come on the pod.
Irvin Santana, come on. I remember. I think he was on one of my fantasy teams in, like, 2000.
And it's funny because he made two All-Star teams 10 years apart. He made the 2007 All-Star team and 2017. So, but he followed me on Twitter yesterday on the NBA Eagle account. So, I'm going to take that as he's a listener.
Official endorsement.
He's the official pitcher of the NBA Eagle podcast. Before we go, I was going to do an emergency pod yesterday on the James Harden trade. I still might with Alexa, but do you have any thoughts on it?
A couple quick thoughts. I think the Rockets made out, but trade in LeVert. I don't know if they could have gotten LeVert instead of Oladipo.
I mean, they could have.
It didn't make any sense. Yeah, like, I don't know why they would would rather have Oladipo unless they just don't want to pick up his contract.
See, my thing is, Tomin Fertitta is the cheapest owner in the NBA. He will do anything to not pay the luxury tax. He doesn't want to pay guys. I think he figures we have this huge contract in John Wall. Let's trade for Oladipo. He's a free agent this summer. Then we'll let him walk and rebuild without him. But you could have... you could have had Caris LeVert for $16 million a year for the next 4 years, who's a great player. And then and between him too. And Christian Wood, you have both those guys for $28 million. You would have had,
so much space. Yeah, which he probably wouldn't have wanted to spend.
And Oladipo already wants to go to Miami. He's signing with Miami. The summer of Miami wants him. So it's like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, he already.
Yeah, he's not staying in Houston.
And do you think they'll trade him?
Yeah, I think he's moved by the deadline.
For who?
I mean, if they want him to go to Miami, salary filler would be something like Kelly Olynyk, Andre Iguodala, and then maybe they throw in Kendrick Nunn. Kendrick Nunn, they don't even use anymore after he was second in rookie of the year voting. He doesn't even play now. Or if not Kendrick Nunn, then maybe a first round pick. I don't know. So
yeah, huh. But I like what the Rockets got in terms of all those picks. Like especially what they have picks in like 2013, 14, 15. To, like,
yeah,
20.
Kevin
Durant. I doubt that Durant and Kyrie. Well, who knows?
All three of them are only under contract, I think, until 2023. So they have. They have two unprotected picks and two pick swaps for a team that could just implode if KD and Kyrie and Harden leave.
It's the same thing they did, like, with the...
It's the same, but James Harden is still only 31. Yeah, he's better and he's younger. I mean, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, that was ridiculous. That never should have happened.
It was just very short-sighted, but... If the Nets,
I just don't know why the Rockets took that offer over Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybulle and probably a first round pick or two. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I would rather have.
Because even if you say, okay, we're going to rebuild, that's fine. You could flip Ben Simmons for probably three or four more picks that are from a worse team than the Nets. So it's like, I don't know what they want to do with Oladipo. Like, they're clearly going to flip Oladipo at the deadline, but, like, you could have got so much more. Even if you held on to Chris LeVert, you could have gotten more than you get for Oladipo at the deadline. So, I don't know. Raphael Stone is a new GM. He worked under Daryl Morey for years. I don't know. They definitely could have gotten more, so I don't love it for Houston. I definitely don't love it for Brooklyn just because of – I understand the championship windows now, but you just –
Yeah, I mean, I was, like, hearing that, not hearing, but, like, what if Kyrie just, like, decides that he's not coming back this year?
Well, I don't think it's up to Kyrie. I think it's up to the league.
Well, I'm just saying, like, what if he just...
And would it surprise you if Kyrie Irving said, tomorrow, I'm retiring, I'm done?
No, not at all. Like, in our Triple Crown League... I was talking to the guy who had Kyrie earlier in the offseason, and I texted him and said, like, oh, I'm pretty glad I didn't trade for Kyrie, because I don't even know if he's going to, like, be around in 2 or 3 years. Like, he could just decide that basketball isn't in, like, his life vision anymore and just bounce. Like, it's crazy. Someone said he's, like, the Kanye of the NBA, and it was very, very accurate. But I think one of the... best parts of that trade was Jared.
Oh, I was just going to say that. The Cavs, they made out, and Kobe Altman is a terrible GM.
What did they even get? What did they even give up?
2022 Bucks first rounder.
So, like, the 27th pick?
I mean, you would imagine so, yeah, because 2022 is not this draft, but the following. So, yeah, figure the Bucks are still going to be good. Mm-hmm. And probably still going to be really good because Giannis is still in his prime then. And then, now he's signed. So, they gave up a late first to get Jared Allen and to eat Torian Prince's contract. And Torian Prince is an okay player. So.
Yeah.
But and that team is still for wings, the Cavs. Yeah. So the question is Andre Drummond going to be traded now that they got Jared Allen?
He's got to be traded. They have so many big guys that there's no way they can keep him. Plus, like, the Cavs aren't competing.
Yeah, I think,
you know, they can get some.
I could picture them trading, like, Andre Drummond to the Celtics. The Celtics have a large trade exception from the Gordon Hayward signing trade to the Hornets that they could just take Drummond into. So I could picture the Cavs just trading Drummond for virtually nothing for the Celtics. Maybe the Celtics throw them back like Romeo Langford or something.
Semi-Ojeleye or something.
Yeah. It would have to be two separate trades because you can't take a guy into a trade exception and trade a guy. So it would have to, they'd have to work it as two separate trades, but I'm sure it could be done. The Cavs trade a shit guy for Romeo Langford. Yeah. So, okay. Well, if that's it, this was our 25 under 25 episode. Rate and review me on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You could leave Tim reviews as well, because I'm sure he's going to be on podcasts in the future. Follow me on Twitter at @_NBAGle. Tim, I don't know your Twitter handle off the top of my name, but if you want to have people follow you, feel free.
Sure. It's Viva La Tim. Very simple.
Viva okay. And follow the underscore NBAGle and Viva La Tim on Twitter if you want to get our scorching hot takes.